Any question or something?
Yeah, I have one question.
Okay, but speak a little louder.
So, I guess it's kind of general knowledge in ISKCON that Lord Brahma has four heads. But while I was traveling in India, I went to Nasik.
To? Nasik.
And there was a deity there with Brahma with five heads. And they told us the pastime about one of the heads of Lord Brahma started to speak something inauspicious, and then Lord Shiva came down to and cut that head off, and then he took bath in the Godavari River, which was opposite the temple. And I haven't ever heard that before, and I've never heard any speakers, or I've never heard any of that kind of pastime amongst devotees in ISKCON.
Well, there's so many things in the Puranas. We don't necessarily, and if it's from Shastra, then it's true. But we don't necessarily refer to all those or even know all those. But Lord Brahma, Brahma has generally four heads. Then there may be a pastime, but that's a detail. There's general identities that he's four-headed, and he's got a beard, even though he's sort of also Navayuvana, not eternally, but as far as material life is concerned, his body is spiritual, but still he sports a beard. Why not?
So, does that mean these stories could be from different universes as well?
Huh?
Does that mean these stories could be from different Brahmas, from different universes?
Well, if it happened there, then it didn't happen in a different universe than it happened here. That's why the holy place is here, because something happened here. And they're marking what happened here. That's fine. Just like Krishna has two arms, sometimes manifests four arms. That doesn't mean that Krishna's four-armed. It means that he's two-armed, but that's just the lila. So Brahma may have five heads in some pastime, but doesn't mean he's five-headed. Something else.
I had another question about glorifications, and you hear that we should pass over the glorifications to Guru and Srila Prabhupada, and we may even try and think that way, but how do we actually apply that in a way that we can actually develop that mood, instead of, was it just thinking that way that will develop that actual mood?
Thinking that way, speaking that way, acting that way, that's called practice. When you practice something, then it becomes second nature. But humility is key to Krishna consciousness. You can't really advance in spiritual life without being humble. You can't chant Hare Krishna, you can't associate with devotees, can't really hear Shastra unless one does it with the right mood, and in that right mood, yes, if one has to be humble. And humble means that if I receive some kind of praise for something, then it's all by the grace of Guru and Krishna. Because it is. So if you start to think otherwise, it's not just a matter of that it isn't, and I'm just saying like that, because it is. That's how devotees recognize that they're not able really to do anything without Krishna's mercy, spiritual master's mercy. And even Krishna says that I've become famous just simply because smear the dust of Vaishnava's lotus feet on my body by my association with Vaishnavas, I become famous. So even Krishna gives credit to the dust of the Vaishnava's lotus feet. So what to speak of anybody else? That's how that's humility. And the more humble someone is, then the more they become eligible for Krishna consciousness. Otherwise they lose their eligibility for it.
And how do we know if we're pleasing the spiritual master?
If you're following his instructions, then that's pleasing. One should have that type of clarity of mind and so on, that he knows, yes, this is what I'm supposed to do, and if I do that, then I'm pleasing my spiritual master, then I'm pleasing Krishna. So Krishna says, Sarva, surrender to me. So when we surrender to Krishna, then we should know that we're pleasing Krishna. And if we're not surrendering, then we should know that Krishna's not satisfied. Bhagavatam.
I'm reading the Gita at the moment.
Have you read the Bhagavatam?
No.
But you've read so many other books.
I'm going to start Bhagavatam after I finish this the Gita.
It's when the spiritual masters, please, when devotees are studying Shastra, they put so much time and energy into learning and studying other things that have no real value. And they just bewilder us and cover our real knowledge. And that's our real business, to become enlightened. And can only become enlightened by knowing Bhagavatam and applying it in life. And it takes more than just reading Bhagavatam. Just like school books, you don't read, you study. So that's what Bhagavatam is meant for. It's meant to be studied, understood, memorized. It's serious business. But I think we got so many other obligations in this world, actually. That's our only responsibility. Let's chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavatam, study Bhagavatam, and do service. It's the only thing that's really going to save us. Anything that's a distraction from that, well, in the ultimate end, it can't help. Vidyavilas. Material knowledge is actually a form of ignorance. We call it knowledge, and that's just a word, but it's actually ignorance, and covers our consciousness and makes Krishna consciousness all that much more difficult, because you learn all kinds of bewildering things. That's real knowledge. But it's a real job realizing that. Just saying dehi no smindita dehi is a different thing than self-realization. Has to be taken seriously. And then knowledge is one thing, but in addition to knowledge, for knowledge to actually really work, to be activated, there has to be surrender. And Hovanakatuk. Without surrender, it's just again. And it doesn't doesn't really have the same effect. Real knowledge is witnessed in detachment, vairagya, vidyara, nija bhakti yoga, vairagya and vidya. If there's real knowledge, if someone understands something, then they become detached. Otherwise, it just becomes information. So, I'd rather Damodar Kichai.